Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fan Interference with Wichita Wingnuts manager Pete Rose Jr. Fan Interference is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Wichita manager questions about the Wingnuts, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Pete's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, Pete talks to us about the horrific balk call during the championship series. He gives his overall thoughts on the 2017 American Association season. And Pete tells us what his favorite Halloween costume was to wear of all time. So let's get right to Fan Interference.
Let's welcome back manager Pete Rose Jr. Pete, do you have any team updates you'd like to provide to us at this point?
Not really team updates. If we ended the season, basically everybody was healthy. I think Kuzmal is going to go to winter ball and play in Mexico. I think Tyler King is going to go to winter ball and play in Mexico. But not really any team updates. It's been kind of quiet on our front, and just trying to decompress the season, get back into everyday life and carpool life and school life and soccer life and football life. So it's been kind of quiet on our front, but that's usually how it goes as far as in my household. We usually don't talk about baseball unless we're watching the playoffs. So, but nothing really new to give you.
Well, before we head into fan questions, let's talk about the worst call in the history of baseball. There's really no place, else to begin at. So what were your thoughts about it at the time that it occurred, and what have you been thinking about it since?
You know, Robert, when it happened, I really didn't know what happened. I saw the Turgeon hit the ground ball to TJ, throw it to first. Our guys emptied out onto the field. I grabbed Cap, gave him a big hug. I was basically celebrating in with my coaches and Kerstein, our trainer. And then I kind of come up to go on the field, and everybody was walking off. So I was kind of stunned. I mean, me, I got a kind of a fiery temper when it comes to stuff that I don't think is fair and correct. But I don't know if I was in more shock than anything, but I just stunned, and I've never. I try to think about it, if I could have did anything different, and maybe I could have went out and maybe slowed the game down a little bit there. But obviously we came off next pitch, Turgeon hit a double, and I went out to talk to Kuz after that. And after it kind of happened, it kind of sunk in. I'm just I'm trying to keep our guys focused. I mean, we still have a chance to win a championship, and as tough as that was going to be, I had to be the cooler head to try to prevail to get these guys. Maybe focus, and they did. I mean, hats off to my guys. I mean, they battled for 17 innings, and you have to tip your hat to Winnipeg. I mean, they got a great team. Rick does a great job. Sam's a first class owner. Andrew does a great job. They had a great year. They had a great team. You tip your hat. I mean, they won it. I mean, they stumped us in Game 5 and everything. But what a great Game 4 was. But after it happened, I'm just trying to keep us kind of even keeled and maybe try to focus in. I know there was about 20 guys on our team that want to get kicked out, but if we did that, then we'd have just, maybe we'd got a better night's sleep. But you just try to decompress and you try to, figure it all out and try to make some sense in it. And, it is what it is. I mean, I was just stunned, Robert, to tell you the truth. Once it happened and everybody kind of went crazy, I just tried to just keep these guys, try to calm them down and keep them focused. And, we still had a chance. And, Kuz threw a good pitch and Turgeon hit a double. And then I went out and I said, hey, let's get this guy right here. We're going to win the game. We're still in it. And, Kuz got out of it. We came in and, the rest is what it is. And, we're back here as runners up to the Winnipeg Gold Eyes. But, like I said, man, you can't take nothing away from those guys. They had a heck of a year, and they had a great club, and they played really well.
A lot of people have, since the series, have come up with what I believe to be some rather idiotic talk about, well, you still had 8 innings to win that game, and you could have gone out and won Game 5. But I'm wondering, is there any way to really rebound psychologically after you have a title ripped from you on just the worst play in sports history?
I was really surprised at our guys, and it shows you what kind of guys that we had in our locker room. To go 17 innings, I thought we would have lost that game in either the bottom of the ninth after it happened or maybe the 10th or the 11th. But for them to go 17 innings like you said, having it ripped out from underneath you, it just shows what type of amazing kids that I had on my team and how they loved one another and played for one another. To be able to focus in and get back to business and, you know, like I said, play an unbelievable team in Winnipeg for 17 innings. It's just mind-boggling. But, you know, after that game was over and we had a good talk in the locker room, but it was pretty much a formality in game five. And, you know, it's just you go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. And, you know, it's just so much of a emotional roller coaster. You just don't I don't think anybody's ever had to do that. And I wouldn't expect them to know how to do that. And, you know, I don't even think a big league team could have done that with all the talent. I, you know, if Clemens was pitching for us in game five or Scherzer or Verlander or, you know, anybody like that, I still think that, you know, we the outcome would have been the same. And that's not taking anything away from them because, I mean, they pounded us 18-2. They swung the bats like I've never seen. And, you know, their lineup's done that all year. So they pitched well. I mean, that, you know, he threw an unbelievable game. And, you know, even the relief pitchers in game four were unbelievable. But we just didn't have any chance after that. And you know, they had a long talk with my dad about it. And, you know, I got to try as a manager to stay positive and try to get these guys ready to play. And I tried the best I could. And my guys went out and played the best and the hardest they could. It just wasn't meant to be.
You know, I hear this phrase used when officiating seems to be going against the team, and the announcer will say something like, "Well, it's hard to win a game when you feel like the refs. You're not only playing against the opposing team, but the refs or the umpires as well." And I'm wondering, does your team have an attitude heading into Game Five where we're not going to get a championship because they already decided that Winnipeg is going to be the winner?
You know, I don't think so. I just think that going into Game Five, I just think we all try to trick ourselves to try to get up and play a winner take all game, knowing that we're at the highest of highs, and I think it was like I said, just a formality. I mean, not like I said, not taking anything away from them because they thumped us, but you know, it's just I don't think we took that attitude towards us. I just think that we were done. I really do. I mean. You know, to expect these guys to get up for a game five. Yeah, there was, 8,000 people there, a great crowd. You know, I kind of tried to put myself in, back being a player and just realizing how hard that would have been. And, you know, I give them credit. We scored two runs, and that's two more than I really expected them to score. But, you know, Timmy had a good first inning, and once the second inning, he just kind of, everything they hit was a base hit. Everything they hit was hard, home runs, whatever. You know, like I was telling you earlier, I kind of look over in game five at our guys and, you know, I've never seen a look on guys' faces and you see, Middlestaff's and Cleveland's and, Vargas's and you know, Prigatano's and Stringer's and Medina's, just guys that are just, empty. You know, I've never seen that look on those guys' face because, one, it's not in their nature, but, when you kind of think about what transpired up until that point, you understood it. And as a manager, you just, you know, you felt helpless. I mean, I couldn't help them at that point. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't do anything. And, you know, we just had to ride the storm out. We did. And we walked out of there and got on the bus and we did it with our heads held high. I mean, it's just an unbelievable group that I got to work with. And they're my guys for a reason. I mean, I love those guys. They're baseball players. They go out and they play the game the way they're supposed to be played. They come to the ballpark every day. They play hard, but you know, it just wasn't meant to be. And game five, that look just really kind of put everything in perspective. So you know, maybe we can get it done next year.
Now that you've had a few weeks since the season has ended, what are your thoughts about the season overall?
Amazing. To basically have the same team and the same group position players and basically go and be a half game off the pace and for the best record in the league. And, you know, have one of the best pitching staffs in the league with a first year pitching coach was Anthony Capper. I can't say enough about him as far as, what he did with the staff. Just amazing, an amazing season top to bottom. Yeah, we didn't win the whole thing. Okay. That's okay. I can live with that. But, to be able to do what we did back to back years, you know, everybody said it would, you know, we were in the South. Well, you know what? I tip my hat to the South because, think about how hard it is for Salina to play every game on the road, except for playing us in Salina. Everybody, you know, got on Texas, got on Claiborne. Well, you know, you still have to go play those games. There's still a lot of good baseball players in the South. And, I credit them for helping us, to be ready to play against other teams in other divisions because, you know, our division was a really solid division. I mean, yeah, we had Salina, but, you know, hey, look at their one-run games as far as wins and losses. I mean, to have to play on the road all the time, I mean, come on, give me a break. But just an amazing season. Very proud of my guys. We tried to get a championship for Wichita and our fans. The organization, and we came up short, but definitely heads held high. Proud of my guys, proud of the way they come to work every day. And like I told you earlier in the year, we just basically picked up where we left off last year in Game 5 in Wichita. And first day of spring training, it's like we never left, and you knew something special was going to happen. And the reason you know that is the guys that you have in your locker room. So very proud of my guys.
Well, I just want to state for the record, I don't think anybody won the title, so that's where I'm leading it. we find out last night that the league has decided to change to two divisions of six teams. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't really care. It doesn't matter. I mean, then maybe if we can, now if we're in the South with some different teams, maybe if, we do what we do, then maybe, somebody won't say that, the South is really not a good division, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, you could have the three divisions, you could have the two divisions. Just as long as it's a balanced schedule, I think that's what anybody, looks for in the league, because if you have a balanced schedule, then, you don't have anybody belly aching. You know what I mean? So, like I said last year, we don't make the schedule. We just figure out where we're supposed to go and, we'll show up and play, but, I think it'll be fine. I mean, I think, it'd be nice to have Kansas City in our division, considering it's only 3.5 hours. And, what a beautiful place. I love going there. We only got to go there once, and it seemed like it was always a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday day game and then back home. So you're only there for a couple days. But, I think it'll be, maybe some better outcomes. I guess it's two division winners and I guess two wild cards then. I guess that's how they're going to do it. So, it'll be good. I mean, I think it's I liked it the way it was before, but, maybe this will be, maybe a little change is good for our league and we'll see what happens.
I'd be remiss at this point if I didn't talk about your contract situation. I know your contract expires in January. What's the current state of that and what are your plans right now?
My plans are I have a football practice tonight at 5:45 that I got a car, take my son to, and I watch football practice and then come back about 7:45 and then watch some baseball and then maybe Monday night football. But, I don't know. That would be a question for our president and GM, Josh Robertson. You could probably better answer. I haven't heard anything. I know with the whole stadium thing, I don't know what's going on there. I haven't heard much about it. But as of now, I'm just kind of enjoying my off season. And, whenever we find out what's going to happen, then I'll know if I have a job or not, or maybe wait till January 1st. But as of this point, I really haven't heard anything. And, it's kind of up in the air, I guess. I mean, it's with the stadium situation, the affiliated thing in Wichita, I guess it's kind of a sticky situation, just kind of up in the air. But, it's a great place to manage. It's a great place to raise a family. I enjoy it there. The people have treated me unbelievable there. Do I want to go back next year? Absolutely. With the guys that we have, with our fans, with the way everything kind of just works in Wichita, it's just it's a perfect fit for me. So, but if not, I'll maybe try to find another job somewhere else in the league if something happens to where we're not going to have a team or they're going to get the affiliated or they decide to go in a different direction. But as of now, I'm just kind of on hold. So, once I find something out, I'll make sure that you're one of the first people I let know for sure.
Well, hopefully Santa will have that in your stocking. Maybe that's going to be the deal. That's right.
Yeah, hey, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, let's head to fans' questions. First of all, is James. He says he was watching the weather in Winnipeg and did not really get why either of those games were delayed. The first delay, it looked like they were getting some rain, but nothing serious, and they were canceling the game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Game 3 decision, that was a very good decision. I mean, it was, it was 40 degrees and misty, and the outfield was trashed. you know, with a short roster and everything, you don't want to get anybody hurt. You're playing the championship series. You know, I thought game three was definitely a, you know, you've postponed that. The Sunday was supposed to be nice, which it was. And then I think Tuesday night, if you looked at the radar early, I mean, it looked like some serious rain was coming. And you know how weathermen are. They're, you know, basically 50-50. It's either going to rain or it's not. But, you know, they called it early. And, you know, hey, if it means an extra night's rest for my guys, I'm okay with it. I'm not a weatherman. I'm not, you know, I don't call games. I don't postpone them. You know, you go back to the game in Laredo last year. I just you tell us when we're going to play, and I'll have them ready to play, and we'll go from there. But you know, leading up to that day on Game Five, you know, on that Tuesday, there was some serious rain coming in the forecast. I think it was 100%. You know, all the way up until probably 2 or 3 in the morning. So I understood why they, you know, why they made the call, and I you know, I thought it was the right call. I would have. You'd rather not started somebody and then set them down and then do it that way. I think, you know, when you're sitting on pitching, you don't mind you. Gutierrez, you know, we didn't have him with us as far as getting in the country. Had some problems getting in the country. So we were kind of short of starters. So, you know, I was kind of glad that they postponed that just to give our guys another rest, especially coming off the 17-inning game. So, you know, I think it, you know, I think they made the right decision in that.
Tim would like to know why Tim Brown and, or excuse me, Phil would like to know why Tim Brown in Game Five when you had Alex Boshears rested as well as Jordan Cooper.
You know, Coop threw a hell of a game in Game Three, and you know, he was available kind of maybe in an emergency situation. We went with Timmy just because, you know, he's a veteran. The moment doesn't get to him. He kind of, you know, he just kind of stays himself. It doesn't matter if it's a championship game, if it's a spring training game, if it's a regular season game. You know, Tim Brown is going to do Tim Brown, and that's just kind of how it is. You're going to get what you get, and it's either going to be on or it's not. And Boshears pitched. You know, he came in relief, and you know, I just wanted to start Timmy. I just think that, you know, you have a veteran starting Game Five. You know, they had one in Carl. You know, I just think that was if you go back to Game Five last year, Bosh. You know, started Game Five for us last year, and he just tried to do a little too much. And, you know, he got unbelievably better at that this year. And, you know, a lot of our younger guys did as well. But I just thought it was the right decision to start Timmy Brown instead of Bosch. But like I said, once Timmy took the mound, Bosch was in the bullpen and spikes, and, you know, it was all hands on deck. And, you know, we went with what we thought was going to get us a chance to win. And, you know, they just, you know, they hit everybody that night, so it really didn't matter who we pitched, to be honest with you.
Sarah asks, she says, I listened to the show that Rob does with Kevin Lucco. They seem to think that the league favors Winnipeg, and it sure looks like that to me as well. Do you see it that way, or do any of your players? And if so, how hard is it to play in a league where one team is given way more breaks?
You know, I don't see it that way. I mean, I just, you know, we look at the schedule and we figure out where we got to go and what time the game is, and that's all we really worry about. We don't worry about any of, you know, the extracurricular stuff that people want to talk about and, you know, everything else. So it's not a worry to us. You know, we don't worry about it. We never have. Probably never even heard of this stuff until, obviously, after what transpired in Game 4. But, you know, I played in Winnipeg. It's a great place to play. I mean, it's a, you know, you play for, you know, a great owner in Sam. I played for Hal Lanier. Great manager, you know, Andrew was our GM, a great general manager. It's a great organization. I mean, you just, you know, like we were talking about before, you just tip your hat to them. I mean, it's got nothing to do with, you know, you still got to go out and you got to hit the ball, you got to catch the ball, you got to throw it, and they were the better team. And, you know, I don't think we've ever thought about it that way. And going forward, we won't think about it that way. We'll just, hey, if we got to play in Winnipeg, we're, you know, we get to eat at Stella's for breakfast and then go over to Cam West and play some baseball. So, you know, but that's for other people to think about. We're not going to worry about that.
Andy would like to know if you have any update on what the stadium situation is and whether there will even be a Wingnuts team.
That's a great question. That would be another question for Josh. You know, I don't know much about it. Obviously, I live in Cincinnati. I would love to know what was going on, but I guess that the last that I had heard was they're going to make a decision by the end of the calendar year, so maybe we'll hear something by the end of the calendar year. But from what I understand, I think there's going to be a team next year for sure, just because, you know, you saying about the two divisions. So You know, I don't know where we're going to play. I don't know if it's going to be at Dumont. They're talking about maybe Wichita State, if, you know, but it's all kind of up in the air. But I don't have any update to that. And, you know, obviously, you know, you guys being in Wichita will probably have a better idea than I will, just from being there and, you know, reading the papers and in the news and everything. So if anybody has anything, please let us know. But as of now, I haven't heard anything.
From what I know is that that the stadium will not even be, regardless of if there is a stadium, it won't be torn down until after next season. So the Wingnuts will be playing for sure at Lawrence Dumont Stadium next year. And even if they decide to go with affiliate ball, which I think is like 0% chance that that's going to wind up working out, the Wingnuts will be in some fashion or another still playing. That's what I'm hearing. So
sure. And you know, it's, you know, I want people to realize that, you know, hey, if they get an affiliated team and, you know, listen, if I own a team and I know this the last year, you know, you can maybe understand of maybe going in a different direction, not knowing that you're going to, you know, you're going to play the following year. And I understand that. And you know, just so everybody understands, listen, you know, we got a great relationship, me and Josh. And, you know, he's an unbelievable person, not only to work with, but off the field. He'll give you the shirt off his back. And, you know, our owners, you know, Nate, Mr. Rude, and Gary, just great people. I mean, it's a great place to work. You know, everybody's got, I'm happy there. I love it there. But, you know, business is business. It's never personal. You know, so whatever comes out of this, you know, it kind of comes out of it. You know what I mean? It just kind of all depends on that whole stadium and affiliated deal. So, but, you know, I guess only time will tell of that. Maybe Santa will let us know early. Maybe St. Nick, like you said, Robert.
There he is. He's got the info. Ken would like to know, do you expect the vast majority of the team to be back again next season like it was this year?
You know, I don't know. That's tough to say because, you know, and I hate to – man, how's this going to come out? Listen, I'm a nobody. I'm just a baseball manager. But everybody knew I was coming back last year. I don't know if anybody, really nobody knows now. I'm not saying that everybody's going to come back just because I'm there, and I'm not saying that. But last year is a little bit different. But I got to believe if I'm, you know, if I still have the keys to the car next year, I think that we're going to have a lot of the same passengers. I mean, obviously, you know me, I like to keep my guys. And I think when you keep them around, not only for a team standpoint, but I think from a city standpoint, I mean, you know, have little kids that wear Brent Cleveland jerseys around, or TJ Middlestat jerseys around, or Christian Stringers or Leo Vargas, guys that have been there a couple years. You know, I think it's a good thing, but I think only time will tell. You know, I think there's maybe a couple guys that may, that might have been it for them. I think a couple guys may go to Mexico just to, you know, make a little bit more money. They may be back maybe, you know, for a playoff run or something. But, you know, if it's up to me, I'll have them all back. And just like this year, if it's not broke, I don't think you try to fix it. And I think if other players get signed or go somewhere else, you kind of fill your needs. But if you're asking me, I'll take every one of them back. If we could sign up tomorrow, I'm in. I'll put my name on the line, and I'm sure – 90%, maybe 95%, maybe 99% of them will do the same thing. So just time will tell. We'll see what happens.
What I was going to say is that, well, I would gather some guys will decide to retire at the end of the season. If Richard Brigatano and Martin Medina are not given a shot back in affiliate ball, there's Major League Baseball has lost its mind. I don't really understand that at all. So,
you know, that's a great point, Robert. And it's, you know, I don't understand why they didn't get a chance throughout the season. You know, and what gets lost in that, how about Christian Stringer? How about the year that he had?
Yeah, Matt Chavez.
Unbelievable. I mean, Matt Chavez, I mean, you know, to have 70 RBIs at the break, Christian Stringer, nobody knows this. He played basically the second half of the season with two fractured fingers.
On different
hands and didn't miss a day. I mean, didn't miss a game. But, you know, I just think some organizations are just kind of, I don't want to say gun shy, but just, you know, hey, if we sign a Richard Brigatano or Marty Medina and next thing you know, he's in the big leagues, well, you know, now our owner, where do we draft him? Well, we didn't. He came from independent ball. Now it kind of makes, you know, maybe your scouting department not look as good as it should be or something like that. But, you know, I think teams that are looking to field baseball teams and get baseball players, There's a lot of them in our league, and you know what? There's a lot of them on my team. So, but I'm with you. I think a lot of guys on that team last year, I've said it a million times, I don't understand why TJ Mittelstadt is not a 25th man at the very least in a National League team. I mean, he can run. He plays everywhere. He hits. He hits for power. He's one of the smartest players I've ever been around. Marty Medina can catch in the big leagues right now. Christian Stringer can play second in the big leagues right now. Leo Vargas is another one, underrated, totally underrated. Makes routine plays and makes unbelievable plays look routine. Prigg, you know, having an unbelievable year last year, you know, and then getting hurt and then coming back and doing it all over again. You know, just a lot of guys. And you look at our pitchers too. I mean, our pitchers, you know, you look at last year's team, you look at this year's team. There's definitely guys that can – you know, pitch, if not in the big leagues right now, definitely can help somebody in Double A and Triple A. But that's another thing, only time will tell. And you know, I'm going to do all I can to get these guys signed and get them into camp and see if they can make a team somewhere.
You know, the interesting thing about what you were saying there is that I would think that if – okay, so let's say Arizona had – I think Arizona had signed Matt Chavez originally, if I remember correctly. Okay, so – if you're the Dodgers or the Padres or something, and you go out and you bring Matt Chavez and your scouting department brings him in, I would think that would be kind of like, well, okay, Arizona's stupid, and we weren't. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. But on the other aspect of that is, okay, if you sign him and he's a first baseman, now we just drafted a first baseman. Now
true.
Which one plays?
True.
You see what I mean? It's just it's you know, you got to understand it, but. The way I look at it, maybe I'm an old school guy, Robert, but once you get into the development part, you're looking for baseball players. And listen, I understand, you know, first round picks and you get investments and you give guys a lot of money. You have to see what they can do. But you know what? At a certain point, they either do it or they don't. But I'm saying the teams that are going to be successful are guys that, you know, you look at the Cardinals, they have baseball players. You look at the Cubs, they have baseball players. You know, and it doesn't matter where they come from. I mean, we had a pitcher back when I was affiliated ball that we traded because he was an independent ball guy. Now he's the closer in Mexicali. He's was on Team Mexico. He was a pitcher of the year in 13. He was my only All-Star in 14. You know, we traded him because you know, he was an independent ball guy. And you know, it's just some things that just kind of blow your mind. But that's life. That's baseball. I guess that's the positive in it. But if I'm in charge and I've told my guys, if I get back to affiliated ball and, you know, I can bring these guys with me, you know, hey, if we talked about this, me and you, if the Reds call and I'm managing downtown here in Cincinnati next year, you know, there's a good possibility there'll be at least a handful of Wichita Wingnuts that'll be in my system, maybe even on my team in the big leagues. I mean, no two ways around it.
Kendall would like to know, who do you see winning the World Series?
Wow, good question. Man, you would have thought that you know, Cleveland and Houston were definitely on a collision course, but you know, with two great games yesterday. You know, this is going to be a really it's going to be a really tough pick to pick, but I'm going to stick with them. I'm going to take the Diamondbacks. I know they're down 2-0 to the Dodgers, but Greinke's going to pitch, I think, game 3 tomorrow, and then you're going to have Ray come back, and then Greinke again. So. I just think the Diamondbacks are a really good team. I think they're the best wild card team in baseball right now, and the ways they're playing. I'm gonna say it's gonna be the Diamondbacks and the Astros, and I think the Diamondbacks are gonna win.
That'd be an awesome World Series.
That's a bold pick, buddy. So if they get beat tonight and they get swept. You know, I hopefully I won't get bombarded by our listeners too bad next week or the next time we have it, but I'm going to stick to it.
Ted would like to know, he says, I'm getting worried about our Bengals.
Ted, we won yesterday. We beat Buffalo at home. Unbelievable game, but we're right back in the thick of things. I mean, you know, rough start, obviously. You know, we haven't talked about this much, Robert, me and you. We've been worrying about, you know, other not so much important stuff like, you know, championships and playoffs and everything else. But we got off to a rough start. You know, our guy in the middle, 55, is back. And, man, our defense is savage. I mean, you know, now we get the bye week. We got to get Pac-Man and Drake Kirkpatrick healthy. And then we just go on and take a shot at this thing. But Andy's playing better. Like I said, I think you got the ace in the hole sitting on the bench and A.J. McCarron. who's a winner. He's a great quarterback. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. Not saying I'm not giving up on Andy Dalton, but I like where we're at. I mean, we're 2-3. Steelers lost yesterday. The Ravens won. Cleveland lost. So I think we're a game out, and you know we still have to play these guys. You know, we got to play Baltimore one more time. We got to play Pittsburgh twice and Cleveland one more time. So I like our chances, but our defense is really coming together, especially when you get Vontaze in the middle. And man, he's the best linebacker in the league. He's unbelievable. I make my son, he's the linebacker, I make him watch him every week. And what an unbelievable player. So, Ted, we're all right, man. Get back on board. It's okay. Who day, baby? Who day?
Brad asked, do you see the Chiefs as the best team in the NFL? So give us your top five at this point.
You know what? Hey, this is for one of my players, Jordan Cooper. He's a huge Chiefs fan. Set the tone early. Chiefs. That's what we kind of started that. You know, at the end of the year, you got to set the tone early. Chiefs. That's what Chiefs mean. Set the tone early. But I'll tell you what, they're a solid football team. My top five would be obviously the Bengals are on top. Always, no two ways around it. I'll give the Kansas City Chiefs the two slot. You got Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I mean, wow, what a game yesterday. They got to be three. God, I mean, New England hadn't been playing well, but you have Bill Belichick and the GOAT. I mean, he's always going to do something. 4 and 5 would be – I'll tell you what, I'll give it to the Rams. The Rams would be 4, and I'll give the Philadelphia Eagles 5. How about that?
That sounds like good choices right there.
Yeah, why not?
Don says, a lot of surprises in the NFL this season so far. The Cowboys, Patriots, and others seem to be doing a lot worse than many suspected. What's the biggest surprise to you?
That's a great question. I think the Rams are a big surprise and a pleasantly surprised. I just think there's a lot of parity in the NFL this year, which is great. I mean, to see the Jacksonville Jaguars go into Pittsburgh, which is a very tough place to play, and I'm not just saying this because I hate the Steelers, but I mean, what a game they had yesterday. I mean, to only, you know, let the Steelers score 9 points. You know, they got a really good team, Jacksonville does. So I just think there's a lot of parity in the league, which I think is going to be good for the league because it's not Dallas and New England and Pittsburgh and Seattle at the end of the dance in the AFC and NFC championship. So you get some new teams in there, Bengals being one of them. I think it'd be great to get them in the AFC championship game. But besides that, you know, I think, you know, how about a Bengals-Chiefs AFC championship game at Arrowhead? I'm in. Robert, I'll meet you up there. I mean, we could go to that. We could cover it. You know, we could do something like that. I think it'd be perfect for us.
Be awesome. I'm on for it. Nate would like to know, he says, while I don't want my child to be bullied in any way, I am also cognizant of the fact that this can help to toughen a kid up. The fine line of what is a tough call to make. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I just never think bullying is such a good thing. I think, one, you got to stand up for yourself, but two, I think I just remember me going to school and, you know, I got bullied obviously because of who I was, but I made sure I stood up for the kids that couldn't stand up for themselves. And you know, everybody's normal. Everybody's a human being. I think you got to, you know, you gotta do what's right, and you know, I think anytime anybody bullies anybody, I think it's just bad business, and I think that's you know, if my son or daughter would ever think about doing that, that would be handled here probably by my wife quicker than I could even get it out of my mouth first and foremost. But it's not a good thing when you know, people get bullied, and it's really sad that people have to do that. But yeah, it does toughen you up, but I don't really think you want to be toughed up that way. I think, you know, toughen up would be maybe, you know, playing a game maybe when you're not maybe under the weather a little bit, or, you know, maybe, you know, your legs are sore or something like that, or you know, maybe that kind of deal. But, you know, never a good thing when you get bullied. So, you know, I would just, hey, you know, just keep doing your thing. And, you know, hey, if you got to defend yourself, you got to defend yourself. And I think that's where the line gets drawn. And, you know, I think once you defend yourself, you're not going to get bullied anymore. I mean, that's the thing that, you know, people don't realize. But I'm not telling you to do that. But, you know, there comes a time and a place where, you know, people can only take so much. And, you know what, if you know, if you got to do it, you got to do it.
People bullying you because your dad was Pete Rose, proving the adage that kids are stupid.
Okay. Yeah, I grew up with that, so that's nothing new for me, man. Robert, if you don't know me, I'm the biggest jerk you've ever met in your life. You just got to sit down and talk to me for 5 minutes, and you'll understand that it's total fabrication. But that's how I grew up, man.
Frank asks, he says, my wife and I have had issues, many of which have been my fault, but we have decided to try to work it out. However, her family is telling her not to even give me a chance. Do I have any kind of a shot here when there are so many telling her to walk away?
Absolutely. You're not married to her family. You're married to her. And the thing is if you want to work it out, then you do it. And you don't worry about what anybody says, what anybody thinks. And the reason I say that is, hey, if I would have stopped playing baseball when everybody told me I should have stopped playing baseball, I would have never played in the big leagues and got to where I am today. So you follow your heart, you do what you want to do, and just remember, you're not married to her mom or her dad or her sister or her brother. You're married to her, and I'm sure they're only one-sided. There's two sides to every story, so just keep doing you, keep working hard, stay focused, and hey, don't take no for an answer. I mean, just keep working at it. It'll work out for you if you really wanted to.
Devin says, I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I get the impression that you are for the most part as well when baseball season is not going on. All the friends I know give me hell about it, like there is something wrong with me staying at home with my kids. Pete, give me a great line to give them to get them to shut the hell up.
You know what? That's jealous people right there. That's all that is. And, yes, I am a stay-at-home dad, but I'm sure all those guys that are giving him hell about that are probably – maybe last or second last in fantasy football. So just say, hey, you know, when the kids are at school, I got more time to get on my fantasy and check the waiver wire and, you know, go ahead and take a shot at this title this year. So, but just don't, you know, hey, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know, I'm sure it's, you know, listen, if you have a chance to, be at home and raise your kids and spend time with them, you know, people can yell and say whatever the heck they want to do. At the end of the day, you know, you get to look at, you know, how many of your kids you have, my two, and sit back and really just enjoy watching them grow up.
Sandra would like to know, what was your favorite Halloween costume you wore as a kid?
God, that was a good question. I saw that one, and you know what? My normal costume was being Pete Rose, and I know that sounds terrible. But I didn't need to buy a costume. I had my uniform. I put eye black on. You know, it's just easy to get out and carry a pillow sack and just get house to house with my sister and try to get it maybe three or four times in a night. But my mom was really big in Halloween, and I just remember her costumes where she would get the dry ice, which made smoke, and she'd, you know, dress up in costumes and, you know, it'd be a big production at our house and people would come up and she'd scare all these people and everything. But it would either have to be something Star Wars or I would just say my dad. I mean, that sounds like just vanilla as vanilla can be, but I had everything, so I didn't really have to go out and it was all about the candy anyway. So it was easy to run and everything. So, yeah, I'll stick with my dad.
Gary, as our last question, says, I need a great excuse to get out of jury duty. Any suggestions?
Ooh, that was another good one. Say you got tickets to the World Series. It's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Or you know what? Say you got tickets to a Bengal game. Well, we got to buy next week, so that wouldn't work either. I'm sick. Calling sick. Maybe I got the flu or something. I don't know. I don't know if you can do that, though, because if you skip, I guess then they're going to come and get you. So you might just want to wear it. Just try to, you know, hopefully it's a short case and, you know, get in and get out, I guess.
I'd say to ask Miles Wolf. He seems to have a lot of excuses.
Hey, you said it, not me, man.
Well, thanks for joining us this week, Pete.
Hey, buddy, great talking to you, and look forward to our next talk, man.
We want to thank Manager Pete Rose, Jr. for joining us on Fan Interference this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Wichita Wingnut Skipper, please send them to us at askpete@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's askpete@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give Pete a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the Managing Editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Fan Interference.